I'm now joined by Wes Gray, CEO of Alpha Architect, who recently launched two ETFs, the Alpha Architect High Inflation and Deflation ETF, ticker HIDE, H-I-D-E, that launched last November. And then at the end of December, they rolled out the Alpha Architect 1 to 3 month box ETF, ticker B-O-X-X, box. So they now offer seven ETFs under the Alpha Architect brand, nearly $700 million in assets. And then when you include their booming ETF white labeling business, ETF Architect, we're talking 32 ETFs, about $2.5 billion in assets. And Wes is now on the line with me. Wes, always a pleasure. Welcome back to the podcast.
Hey, Nate. Honored to be here. Appreciate it.
All right. So look, I've been saying this for a while now with your ETF white labeling business. You might actually be in the best spot in the ETF industry. There are just so many firms trying to enter the ETF space right now. And obviously, you offer the solution. You can help them bring their ETF ideas to market. What have things been like over the past year or so as this has ramped up?
Well, as you can imagine, when you have 100% year-over-year growth, things get a little crazy, and we're expecting the same thing this year. So, you know, we've been hiring a lot of people, getting our systems tighter, investing in technology, and, you know, kind of running around with our hair on fire, even though I don't have any more hair. But, yeah, it's been fun, and it's a very exciting aspect of business, and we're kind of the leaders on innovating and trying to bring the costs and access to ETFs as low as humanly possible.
I'm always curious, when you look at where the demand is coming from, where specifically are you seeing people trying to enter the ETF market? What's driving this?
Well, so you know, one of the main benefits of an ETF structure is the in-kind process, which essentially amounts to a huge tax deferral wrapper. And a lot of people would love to manage their money in an ETF because they can access basically the tax deferral capability. And so one of the things that we've kind of brought forward to the market, and I think we've probably done more deals than anybody, is tax-free conversions, right? So you can take a hedge fund, turn into an ETF tax-free, manage accounts, you could turn into an ETF without, you know, tax consequence, and then mutual funds as well. And we've done all those transactions, and we have live deals already out there, and that's pretty much all we do now. And the reason that, you know, a lot of people are interested in that is they, a lot of times they already have assets in place, but the ETF is just a better way to manage them because of the tax benefits. And because we've lowered the cost to a more accessible level, you know, we've kind of created this opportunity for a lot more people to enter the market.
I know we've discussed this a little bit in the past, but I always have new listeners joining this podcast. Can you just explain the white labeling process overall? Like, let's say I believe, yeah, I have a good ETF idea, or perhaps I'm an RIA that thinks it would be beneficial, yep, to package up my strategy into an ETF. So I call you up. Hopefully you take my call. What does the process, yeah, look like from there?
Yes, so the basic intent of white label, as you know, is a lot of people, they just have good ideas and they do marketing distribution. They want to basically tell people about this good idea. But the problem with running ETF is it's probably one of the most hardcore, compliant, regulated things you could possibly do. And a lot of people don't enjoy dealing with regulation, compliance, lawyers, trading, and all the kind of boring parts of the business. So the point of the white label is, listen, you go do what you're really good at, which is developing intellectual property and then telling people about this idea. We do all the monkey work behind the scenes. And that's kind of the intent of white label, is to be able to get access without, you know, all the brain damage and the huge fixed cost. And the process, it's, you know, for a normal ETF that's not crazy, you're trying to do something super innovative, typically like, you know, 4 month process. And that the initial stages are you effectively have to go to the SEC because we're going to have an IPO effectively. So we got to talk to SEC, make sure we have all the appropriate paperwork filed. And then the other part about an ETF or mutual fund is we have an independent board of trustees. And so the other big component about launching an ETF is convincing the independent board of trustees that this is not some half-baked idea and that this is like a viable business. And, you know, so that whole process with SEC and our board is, you know, generally 4 months. And then once you launch the fund, then it's kind of like the easy part in some sense. Just, hey, make sure you pick good stocks and tell people about the idea, and we operate it. And that's, you know, it's kind of day to day.
I was looking at the lineup of ETFs that you've helped bring to market under ETF Architect, and some people may not realize you're actually behind the Strive ETF lineup, which is a big new player on the scene. I show 8 ETFs, over $600 million in assets. Are you able to comment on that at all? I thought that could be a good example in terms of what you're doing here.
Yeah, so there we've well, I think a lot of operators have learned, like, regardless of your funding or your future desires, outsourcing all the operational monkey work, it just makes a lot of sense, right? Like, why would you reinvent the wheel when Wes and his team of bandits over here will do it, you know, faster, cheaper, and probably better than you ever could? And so Strive is obviously like a very, very unique, interesting firm where they're backed with some very high profile folks. They have an amazing amount of capital, and their vision, it makes sense that the market needed kind of like they wouldn't want to call it this, but let's just call it, you know, the anti-woke version of iShares. And they are doing exceptionally well. And I think one of the reasons that they're able to focus on their marketing distribution is, again, we deal with all the behind the scenes, where all that team has to do is focus on, you know, telling people about their ideas and inventing new ideas, and they don't have to waste any time, you know, dealing with lawyers, compliance, trading, and all the fun, boring stuff behind the scenes that we're able to do for them.
Before we move on here, we do have a lot of RIAs and aspiring fund managers who listen to this podcast. Maybe you don't want me doing this, but if those individuals have an interest in potentially pursuing this path, what's the best way for them to get a hold of ETF Architect?
The best way is just reach out directly. Just hit us up on our contact sheet. You can just email me. It's, you know, Wes@ETFArchitect.com. And at this point, this is a well-oiled machine where literally all I do all day is sit around and hear ETF pitches. So even if you have what if you think is a bad idea or a good idea, feel free to reach out, because if anything, even if maybe it's not a great idea, I can tell you that because I hear these things all day, and I give you a lot of competitive intelligence on maybe preventing you from doing something crazy before you even get started. And, you know, kind of the point of our platform and kind of our culture is we're not going to BS you, right? If this is not a great idea, we're not going to suggest you try to do something that maybe doesn't make sense, even though we may benefit. And we really do try to be a fiduciary on making sure that if people want to enter the ETF space, they're well prepared, it makes sense. And, you know, yes, it's true, you're coming to the barber to ask for a haircut, but we try to not just say you need a haircut all the time. And if, you know, you're bald like me, hey, you don't need to go to the barber, man. It's probably a bad idea. don't waste your time or money doing this. It just doesn't make sense.
Hey, don't feel bad on the hair. I'm quickly joining your club. I've got very, very limited time left here. And by the way, I've got to tell you, I'm so jealous of the seat you sit in, because it's like an ETF Shark Tank. And, you know, I love seeing these new filings that are out there from everybody. And, you know, not to get over my skis here, seem like I'm too confident, but I've got a pretty good track record where I'll see a filing out there, and I'd say 9.5 times out of 10, I can tell you whether or not it's going to be successful or not. And that ends up coming true. Yeah. So I'm jealous that you get to sit in the seat and run like this ETF Shark Tank. It's pretty neat, but
I mean, it's a lot of fun. And I'm sure if you were in the same seat, you would love it just as much, just as a fellow ETF geek.
I love it. Okay, just a few minutes left here. I do want to briefly touch on these two ETFs that you launched, right? Not only are you involved with white labeling, but you have your own ETF business in Alpha Architect. And as I noted at the top, you recently launched these two products. So let's just spend a couple minutes on these. So the first one is the Alpha Architect High Inflation and Deflation ETF, ticker HIDE, H-I-D-E. Just explain the basic investment process here.
Yep. So the basic point of HIDE is to be a replacement for static fixed income portfolios. And, well, why would you do that? Well, as a lot of people are in 2022, you know, in fixed income is great if you go into deflation. It's not so great if you enter unexpected inflation. So the whole point of HIDE is people should have a diversifier bucket that can kind of help them across all these different regimes, whether it's inflation or deflation. So all that the process is doing is it's looking at commodities, it's looking at REITs, real estate, investment trusts, and it's looking at bonds, and it's going to trend follow across those allocations, right? So it's going to dynamically allocate to either commodities, REITs, and bonds, or all three, or a mix of them, based on if they're in a positive trend. And that's all it's doing. It's just, it's a one-stop, 29 BIP, low-cost, fixed income replacement that does simple trend following. It's, I guess you could also call it like managed futures for dummies. At really low price. That's what HIDE is trying to do for folks.
And right now, in terms of the allocation, if I'm not mistaken, it's currently like, what, 85% plus T-bills, and then the remainder in the Granite Shares Bloomberg Commodity Broad Strategy, ETF, COMB. Does that sound right?
Yep, exactly. Because long bonds, is a lot of people, unfortunately, found out, got their face ripped off. So we haven't owned long bonds a long time. And then commodities have kind of been hit or miss here recently, but generally been good. And then REITs have been bombing out. Like, those are starting to change now. But that's the whole point of HIDE, is it allows you to kind of hide and not think about it, right? It's, you're going to be protected, presumably, in whether we're in inflation, deflation, or anything in between. You don't have to worry about this anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, the allocations will be dynamic.
The other ETF, this one's interesting. It's the Alpha Architect 1 to 3 month box ETF, ticker BOXX box. This utilizes an option strategy called a box spread. And I told listeners at the top they may need to put their thinking caps on for this one. Maybe not. You tell us.
Yeah.
Explain what a box spread strategy is.
Yeah, so I would say simply what it is what we're doing is extracting out implied funding rates in the market making options business. So a box spread is basically a fancy way to generate a T-bill out of the option markets. And the weeds of it are a little bit complex, but in the end, what you end up with is something that's going to have similar duration, similar risk as a treasury bill, but the potential to have equal or better returns. Because generally box spreads have funding rates that are actually higher than treasury bills. And the risk is that there is no risk in a box spread. The only risk difference between a box spread and a treasury bill is your counterparty. In the case of a box spread, your counterparty is the Option Clearing Corporation. Obviously, in the case of a T-bill, your counterparty is the U.S. government, and S&P rates them at the same rating. So technically, the counterparty risk is the same, and really the key difference between a box spread and a T-bill is the funding rates are generally a little bit higher, which is great. And then the other thing that is really important, we don't need to go into in detail here, is really the tax element of a box spread taxation versus like a treasury bill. And that's something that's why we wasted a lot of time in 2 years to figure out how to get box spreads into an ETF, is we think there's some unique tax benefits to doing a box spread versus doing treasury bills.
So I don't want to get you in any compliance trouble, but if I were to just summarize this at a high level, it's effectively a tax-efficient T-bill with potentially higher returns and an overall similar risk profile. Is that a fair characterization?
Yeah, pretty much. That's what it is. However, it's, you know, like anything in our products, we want people to make sure they know what they get into, and we will spend a lot of education and time to help people understand this one, just because it's important for them to get it so they can communicate it to their constituents. But the crazy thing is, like, we think we have some good ideas. Honestly, the box is probably the best idea we've ever had and we'll probably ever have in an ETF structure. So it's certainly worth exploring if you're interested in these sort of things.
And I think I know the answer to this, but can you replicate this in other areas of the fixed income market?
Yes, you can. So we can extract funding rates at, you know, obviously like the 1 to 3 month rate, which we have right now. We can do this at 1 year rate with high confidence. And then we also want to try to do this at the 3 year, potentially 5 year rate down the road. But that market is less developed in the ETF world and in like the market making side. And we're actually trying to unveil like a whole new funding source to the world, which is like, hey, now that we have this at ETF, there's a lot of natural lenders in the ETF world, right? There's a lot of people that have cash that own ETFs, and this is another way and another funding source for people who are natural lenders, or sorry, borrowers on the other side. And so we think once we prove out the 1 to 3 month and the 1 year, that a lot of the market makers and the natural borrowers on the other side of this will be more than happy to, you know, help us bring to market like 3 to 5 year durations. It's just right now the market's not developed enough to do it at huge scale, whereas in the other ones we could do that right now.
Well,
which is great.
I've got to tell you, I mean, again, another crystal clear example of the innovation in the ETF space. Just when I think I've seen it all, something like this comes out. I just love seeing stuff like this. Doesn't surprise me that you're behind it. And I'll be very interested watching this product and potentially future products down the road. But, Wes, we'll have to leave it there. Always fun connecting. Congratulations on those launches. Congratulations on all the success with the white label business. And I appreciate you hopping on the podcast this week. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate your time, Nate. Talk soon.
That was Wes Gray, CEO of Alpha Architect.